Welcome to the Budget-Minded Traveler Podcast, your source for the tips and tactics that will inspire and equip you to travel the world. And the best part? It won't break your bank. And now, the Budget-Minded Traveler herself and your host, Jackie LaLanen.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 46 of the Budget-Minded Traveler Podcast. I hope that you're in the mood for some inspiration today because today's guest, Ladan Jiříček, is one who has been traveling basically his entire life, and he has a lot to say about the subject, including getting into languages, which you guys know I love. So we had some pretty fun conversation and got into some really cool things about how travel really affects your life, your lifestyle, your personal growth, all of that stuff. He's actually the host of the Travel Wisdom Podcast. So you guys should check that out, travelwisdompodcast.com. where he kind of explores how travel can help plant the seeds of wisdom and success in your life. So it's actually kind of an interesting topic, and we do get into that today. And as you guys probably know, that's a subject I can talk about forever. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Ladan Jiříček. All right, I've got Ladan Jiříček on the line, and Ladan is from travelwisdompodcast.com. But so Ladan, how are you doing today? First of all,
I'm doing great. And chilling out in my SpongeBob jammies right now.
Where are you?
I am in Dresden, Germany, where I have been living for about 18 months now.
Wow. Okay. There is so much, I'm sure, leading up to the point that you are in Dresden. And I actually, you contacted me about interviewing you on your podcast, and I was like, wait a second, I want to talk to you too, because this whole travel wisdom thing is just super cool, and I love the mission that I guess you have behind it. But before we get into that, obviously there's a backstory here, and I would love to know just more about you and your journey into traveling, how you got started and all of that. Take us back.
Yeah, for sure. So, by this point, I've traveled to a lot of countries. I'm living in Germany now, 18 months. Next month, I'm moving to India. But it really started, I guess, before I was born too. Like, I don't know, my parents have always been travelers. They're from Czechoslovakia, so Czech Republic and Slovakia now, but formerly Czechoslovakia. Mm-hmm. And we went back there a lot to Europe, or here to Europe a lot, like every year for a good amount of time. And even before that, my dad was actually a fisherman, so he had, like, you know, he worked for 3 months at a time, or like whatever, 4 months, and then we'd have like 9 months, 10 months to just, you know, hang out and chill out with a, you know, decent amount of money. So what we would actually do, we would go to like Mexico and stuff, and we had this hideous pickup truck that we'd like somehow camouflage spray painted or something. I don't really know what the logic was behind that, but there was like a camper on the back of it, and we would go and just like drive through Mexico for some months at a time. And I guess this even started when I was like, you know, 2-3 years old or something like this. And I distinctly remember, like, you know, I don't know, like Mexican kids like coming up to me, because I had white hair at the time, and people were, they'd just like come and touch it, and they'd be like, what is that? That's so crazy. You know, never seen any, you know, blonde people or, you know, non-Mexican people, I guess, in their life. So it was ingrained in me, I think, a long, long time ago, and I've been comfortable with it. And to this day, I have a huge love for corn tortillas and lime.
You started early.
Yeah, for sure.
Cilantro, all those awesome Mexican flavors.
For sure.
Got back from a week in Mexico, and I'm just ready to get back on a plane.
That's the thing I miss the most, actually. I mean, you know, I've been here. I went back to the States in September for a month, and like right away I went to, you know, the taco stand, and I'm just like filling up on burritos and tacos, because we don't get this here. And I mean, actually, we do get it here, but it's quite expensive. But in the States, you know, there's a taco stand for like $3. It's like, how can you go wrong with that?
Yeah. So you did a lot of traveling when you were young then. I mean, back and forth to Europe and random trips here and there. When did you start traveling on your own?
Yeah, so it was actually an interesting story. I mean, I started engineering school. I was doing mechanical engineering, just finished my first year. And, you know, we had three semesters. So we had a summer semester available as well. And it's basically like a shortened condensed semester. And I'm like, ah, I'm going to do the summer semester. And my mom's like, no, you can't do it. It's going to be too much work. You need to enjoy your time. You need to, I guess, rest. And so I'll buy you a plane ticket wherever you want to go. And so I'm like, okay.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I wish more people would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I talked to my friend who at university, which I didn't have many friends at the time, and I literally know him for like 2 months and been hanging out for 2 months. I'm like, hey, man, want to go to Russia with me? And he's like, okay. And that was the beginning of some beautiful stuff. Like, it was amazing. I mean, so we, that first year we went to Russia, a nonsensical trip. Like, if you know anything about geography, we went Russia, Greece, and then Western Europe. So like Belgium, France, Netherlands, and UK. It was just stuff that we wanted to see. And yeah, we fell in love with it. You know, we really discovered hospitality club and couch surfing. That's what like really helped us, you know, do it again. That was actually the main reason we did it again. And then, yeah, the next year we went to the Middle East. So like Turkey, Armenia, Georgia, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, UAE, Dubai, Oman, and stuff like this. And then, yeah, really, really fun time, good time. And then the next year, we went Africa. So Cairo to Johannesburg. So we went the entire length of Africa, which is bigger than you might think, in about 3 months. And yeah, so yeah, it was basically me and that friend for a while. And that was actually our last trip. But I've been traveling since then, and yeah, it's been a great time.
You went from Cairo to Johannesburg in 3 months?
Yeah.
That's really fast, actually.
I don't recommend it.
What
is? Because we spent a month in Ethiopia because it's such a cool place. Although the food is, I would gently say it's not very good. And we actually lost a lot of weight. You know, I lost like 15 pounds in 2 weeks. And then my buddy, who was like a power lifter, he lost 25 pounds in 2 weeks, which,
wow.
If you know anything about physiology, that's not a healthy thing. So really, more or less, I mean, we went from like Kenya to Johannesburg in about 2 months, which was just, you know, horrible because we were spending 4 or 5 days a week, you know, during the day, because you can't travel at night, during the day in a bus, you know. And so it was too fast.
Did you have any fears going into that trip? Because that sounds like, I mean, people, like, I've backpacked through Central America and I was kind of on my own on that trip. And that's just not that scary, you know, but I mean, people don't really talk about traveling the length of Africa. In fact, I don't know if I know anybody who's done that, like actually with a backpack. Traveling the length of Africa. Did you have any fears going into that trip?
Yeah, it is a pretty crazy thing, huh? Actually, yeah. I mean, we had I had a bunch of fears. My buddy was just kind of like, oh yeah, sure, you know, it won't be a problem. But my thing was, I had a stressful. I you know, doubled my load the semester before at university, and so I was getting stressed from that. And then people, I mean, this was really stressful. People would literally be like, "You are going to die on this trip. You're going to Africa. You're crazy. You're going to die." And you know, that really hurts. That really hits you. You know, it's just like you start thinking like, "Am I going to die? Am I crazy?" You know, so I definitely did have fears, you know, I don't know, like kind of probably a weakened psychological state when I went over there. So I don't know if I was like psychologically healthy, but in the end, it actually was perfect. Like there was nothing that, I mean, we were completely safe the entire time. I felt completely safe. And you know, we would walk around at night and, you know, you get vibes when something's going wrong, but
right.
You know, never really anything too bad. I mean, people wanting to, you know, I guess bargain harder with you or, you know, try to take some money, like, you know, con you out of some money. But I mean, you can also see that. And even places, I mean, the reason I was having stress is because, you know, we tried to make it a point to go to as crazy places as possible. So like Sudan and Somalia and, you know, Kenya and stuff like this. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, if you know anything about Somalia, there's like pirates and civil war and all this. But honestly, and I was so stressed when I was going there because we were coming there during the elections as well. And it's just like African elections, I don't know, you know, like, and then it's kind of a rough country as it is. But in the end, it was great. And really felt comfortable there and made a lot of friends. And I mean, true, people are like walking around with like AK-47s on the back, but you know, I mean, you feel the vibe and you kind of just like, oh, it is safe to go outside. And in the end, actually, it was more I would say one of the most dangerous places was probably Johannesburg at night. That was definitely a place where it's like bars on the windows and everybody's just like, get out of the street. You know, it's too late. You gotta leave. So that was probably the worst place, honestly.
And you were with another guy the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess we have the advantage in this that, you know, I guess I'm a decently big guy. I'm, you know, like 6'3" and I don't know, kind of skinny, kind of lanky, but he was also 6'3" and, you know, power lifter and stuff like that. So I don't think people maybe mess with us for that reason, but I think even, you know, smaller people, normal people could do it. His girlfriend joined us for about 2 weeks, I believe, in Ethiopia, or girlfriend at the time. And that was really cool actually too. And she had a great time also.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know what you mean about, you know, maybe you guys had an advantage of that. I mean, just being female, like I get that. I think a lot of people could probably relate to that. But for the general fear thing, you know, I mean, you had these fears going into it and people are saying, dude, you're going to die. You know, like you're going to Africa. Like this is serious. This is a crazy place and whatever. You know, what do you harness to push through that? You know what I mean? Like you have to focus on the goal. Like you have to listen to yourself, you know, like what helped you get through that? Like, why did you end up going anyway? You know what I mean? Cause I know there's a reason.
Stupidity. I would say it was kind of like I didn't want to back out, you know, and just be like, sorry, this is too much for me, because I don't know, we had done so much by that point. And you know, also crazy places like, you know, I guess Syria, and I also went to Oman, you know, right on the border with Yemen, and we actually really liked this off the beaten track stuff. And you know, so I didn't want to back out for that reason also. And you know, my buddy like was really good with this, because he'd just be like, dude, calm down, you're overreacting, like we've done this before, it's not gonna be anything, you know, anything bad. And actually that's exactly what it ended up being, because, you know, what I was listening to people that didn't have experience versus who I should have been listening to is somebody who did have experience.
You're right about that. That's a really good point.
Yeah, so it was, in the end, it was honestly fine. Like, and in my entire, you know, 80 countries that I've traveled to, 80 plus, you know, I've never really had any bad experiences. I've never felt my life was in danger. I got robbed once on the train in Romania. You know, basically I was sleeping and I'm pretty sure the train conductor came and like stole 100 euros out of my wallet. That's pretty much the extent of it. Like that's, you know, in my entire, I don't know how many months of collective travel, it's not so bad.
That's actually kind of impressive, because you have been a lot of places, literally twice as many countries as I have. And I mean, I have been in a situation before where I feel this trepidation going forward, you know, like something is telling me that I shouldn't be going forward to this place. And actually, I ended up not doing that. But like there are times out there when, you know, you feel like, yeah, you could be in danger. And it's just kind of interesting that you've just never had that, I guess. And I think that's encouraging though. You know, I mean, everybody's experiences are different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Well, maybe it was too, cause we already had the, you know, tickets bought, and you know, that's really the first step I would say is like, you know, once you have the tickets bought, the plane tickets, then it's like, well, okay. Otherwise I'm literally wasting, you know, I don't know how much money, anywhere from $500 to $1,500, you know, and then people are going to laugh at me and I have nothing to do during the summer. So I might as well go. I mean, fear is present in almost everything you do. Like anytime you feel fear, it's kind of like it might mean you're doing something right, something that's maybe too big to chew, but really you know, something that might make a difference, of course depending on what it is.
Yeah, I think they say if you feel fear about it, then it's something worth doing. You know, it's something and those are the things that stretch you and grow you the most, and you learn so much from them. So I get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it gets you out of your comfort zone, and you know, nothing ever amazing happened inside the comfort zone, right?
Amen. Absolutely. I just swam with a whale shark last week, so yeah.
Nice. That's really cool.
I was like terrified, but you know what? I did it. And like 2 hours later, I was warm and dry and eating dinner. I mean,
that's awesome.
And now I can say that I did it and I have video. But yeah, so you're right, though. That was way outside my comfort zone. But that's where I feel the most alive. That's where the real experiences happen.
Well, that's where the good stories come from,
that's
too.
Where the good
I mean,
stories
you know, this whale shark thing, too. I mean, that's interesting, you know, yeah. Versus, I mean, you wouldn't have said anything like, yeah, I read a book in a hostel.
Yes, exactly. So what the heck do you do for work that you can afford all this travel?
I'm actually a student right now. That's the reason I'm in Germany. I'm doing my master's. You know, I've just done odd jobs here and there, and honestly, I've kind of, and that's what my show Travel Wisdom is about, is that travel is an educational experience, and because of that, I was not you know, afraid of using student loans and stuff to actually go travel, you know. And I'm just like, you know, mm-hmm. what, $1,000 in 10 years is going to be like no amount of money for me. I'm going to make that, you know, in 2 weeks or 1 week or something like that. And so really, you know, might as well go spend a month somewhere right now when I'd have the time and the energy and the, you know, the willingness to do it. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's something that I did. And you know, so actually I do have some student debts. It's like, you know, $20,000, $25,000 right now. But I mean, you know, to see 40 countries and to spend, I don't know, a year or like 10 months worth of traveling, I kind of think it's worth it. And I mean, honestly, it's not, I don't know, it's not anything too crazy, I would say. It's much better than, I guess, a car payment or something that, mm-hmm. that you can't afford.
Absolutely. A lot of people spend, I mean, they have the same debt, but all they did was go to school. You know, and I mean, there's nothing really wrong with that. It's just you're using it differently. And meanwhile, you've gotten your education through travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of sitting in a classroom.
Yeah, and I had a classmate too, you know, she was unfortunate, and she got a DUI or something like this during school, and she had to pay like $1,000 or something like this from her student loans, you know. And so luckily that never happened to me. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I mean, that's a month of you know, traveling in Guatemala or Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. or something like that.
Absolutely. Priorities. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's my recommendation, is don't get a DUI.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation for anyone, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really curious, I'm gonna change the subject a little bit, but how many languages do you speak?
That's a really hard question to answer, because it's like, you know, what's a language, and then at what point do you speak it, you know? But I'll just kind of go down my list. So English, obviously, is pretty decent, I would say. But I was also raised. Yeah, it's okay. It's passable. Although I did 2 years ago, I did an internship in Berlin, and I was writing like a research grant, and was about to send it to some lady, you know, to like proofread it. And she's like, maybe you should have a native English speaker proofread it. I'm just like, what? Really? No way. I am native. What the heck? Yeah. So I also speak Slovak and Czech, which are very similar languages. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can count them as two or one. And then I've been in Germany now, so my German's pretty decent. And I think it's a level, well, I'm about to do a, you know, like actual, like official test to make sure that I can, you know, sell ice cream, that I'm like legally allowed to sell ice cream here. And I'm actually almost to the point that I could work in like an engineering job over here.
Wow.
So yeah, that, and then, I mean, because I speak Slovak, and my Spanish is pretty good as well. And it's just been, you know, cumulatively month here, 1 week here while traveling, it's improved. And then obviously, because I speak Slovak, it's very similar to Polish, and I've had hour long conversations in Polish and Russian. And yeah, so really, I don't know. It's like, I would say like four, maybe like somewhat decently. And then the rest is kind of like, it's kind of a stretch. The listener has to make an effort. But I really love this idea of polyglots and speaking many languages. I'm actually this weekend, you know, in 2 days, 3 days, whatever, I'm going to Berlin to do a polyglot workshop and meeting with some people that speak like 15 languages fluently. Like they translate for a job, 15 languages, and then having knowledge, probably like, so knowledge in 30 languages. So that's kind of probably like my, you know, six languages or whatever that I'm boasting. They can do 30. So it's just, it's unbelievable. And I really, now having spent time in Germany, I'm just like, oh, I want to continue this. And, you know, really want to do, you know, especially improve my the ones I already know, like, you know, the Polish and the Russian and the Spanish. Maybe get to your level in Spanish.
Yeah, well, maybe I could get to your level in German or any of the other ones. That's so awesome though, because I mean I'm kind of in the same boat. Like I totally get what you're saying, because I would say there's probably five on my list too, but you know, there's three, and then there's a few couple more that are, you know, so and give me a couple days or whatever. But that list is, I think, in my mind, it's just never ending, you know, because once I get the next one, then there will be the next one and the next one. And I'm always, I mean, that's one of my favorite things about traveling is learning languages. In fact, I have some words for you.
Oh, okay.
Because I've learned some Slovak.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I know how to order beer. Let's try štyri piva, prosím.
Wow. So you're a heavy drinker then, huh? Four beers?
Well, there's usually four of us. Not all for me. And then mam hlad. Do you know what that is? Yeah. That's the one that... What?
It means I'm hungry.
Yeah, that's the phrase that I collect in languages. I actually have a blog post about it. I don't know. I love languages, and I don't know why it's I'm hungry, but I can say it in like 10 languages. So
that's awesome.
That's
definitely more useful than the common phrase, my hovercraft is full of eels.
Oh, man. That's awesome, though. What are you actively working on? Anything?
I'm doing the, languages.
Languages.
So German right now, and then... you know, I'm trying to get as much. I was supposed to finish my first book, The Alchemist, on Sunday, but 2 days ago. But unfortunately, it might have to finish it tomorrow or something like that. But that was really cool. It's all in German, and you know, that's my first, like, I guess, foreign book that I've read. Even I haven't read anything in Slovak. But then, you know, I'm going to be moving to India with my girlfriend next month, and so we're going to hit Hindi pretty hard.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there about 8 months. So, you know, I've been here in Germany for 18 months, but I really felt like the first 9 or 10 months was kind of wasted, and I was just like experimenting with language learning methods. But now I think I kind of figured it out a little bit more, and hopefully I can get to hopefully where my German is now with Hindi. But the benefit is that Hindi, it's a really common thing to like mix it like maybe one third with English or something like that. Whereas in German, that doesn't happen. So, you know, if you just don't know a word, you could say it in English and that'd be So I'm really excited about that, actually.
Yeah. You know, there must be something about The Alchemist. I find that really kind of fascinating that you've read that in German, because I have that book. I have two of them, but I have it in Portuguese and Spanish, but not English. I've never read that book in English.
Interesting.
Because people keep giving, and it's that book. I've gotten it twice as gifts in foreign languages, and I think it's fascinating, but I'm like, I wonder if I should read it in English someday. I don't know. I think The Hobbit was my first book that I read in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
That was a funny one because of all the names and stuff.
Oh, man.
Kind of a
Yeah, I liked it because it was kind of short and it was pretty very easy to read, I would say.
Yeah.
But Hobbit, that sounds that does sound interesting.
It's pretty fun. You can do it, though. I mean, if you know the language, you can do it.
Yeah.
How do you think? So how much time do you have left in university?
So actually that's what I'm doing, right now that's the reason I'm going to India is, to do my last semester, my last, last 25% of my master's. So I'm going to be doing my master's thesis in Bangalore. I should be done with it around November, I think is when I'm, you know, scheduled to do the master's defense. Mm-hmm. But I guess I can actually extend it by 2 months if I have some kind of sickness or if I find an Indian doctor that says, you need to go to the beach for 2 months and enjoy yourself.
I think you'll find a way to get sick.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, hey, what the heck?
Do you have plans for after?
There's a few things. I mean, it's kind of all up in the air. I have no idea. My family wants to come visit my mom and my brother. So we might maybe go traveling around India in December. And then after that, I'm not really sure, honestly. I have a cool business opportunity in Berlin, that I might take up in March. I really don't know, but I guess I have a few things. I'm not really, you know, sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'm really excited because I'm going to be going to Bangalore, and that's the IT sector. That's the IT city of India, the Silicon Valley. So there's a lot of smart people. Hopefully I'll meet the next Steve Jobs of India.
Sweet.
And, you know, maybe get some projects going.
That sounds awesome. So kind of changing gears again, how do you think that your life is enriched, I guess, because of all your travels? Like, you see your path differently than other people, I can tell. And why, you know, how do you think that you've grown because of travel?
Yeah, I mean, I can very easily imagine a life where I didn't travel, and I think it'd be kind of boring, you know, me an engineering firm in you know, the States somewhere and not really getting out and kind of just not really fitting the airport rule. I guess I don't know if you know the airport rule, but yeah, especially not like I would now. So yeah, the airport rule is if you're, you know, stuck with somebody for 5 hours in an airport, do you want to A, shoot your brains out, or are you going to love every moment because that person is so interesting and you love talking to them? So I find myself more interesting. At least I would like to think I'm more interesting. But also I think my ability to make relationships and my relationship, I guess, friend making ability or something like that has improved. I mean, when you're traveling in a hostel, you have to make friends, you know, instantly, like really within a day, you know, you're doing things with somebody that you would never do otherwise. You know, you're on a trek together and you're hiking. And so I think that's really helped. It kind of gives you perspective as well, like what other people do, and hey, you know, like there's so many ways to do something that probably the way I'm doing it is not right, and so it's just kind of more, you know, a little bit, I guess, it gives you perspective and kind of more outside view of a objective view of whatever you're doing, and also, you know, it teaches you to be patient. I mean, you know, in Africa especially, and I can imagine in South or Latin America, just like, you know, bus might not leave today, and you know, if you have a flight that you got to catch or something else you got to catch, well, I don't know, you got to figure it out. So you got to think on your feet, or you know, just be patient with it.
Yeah, those are all really good. I think the perspective is really great. I think that's probably the biggest thing, because most people grow up in one society, and being able to get out of that and see what happens and how things do work, you know, it's maybe different, but it still works in other places in the world. And it really opens up your mind, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's the saying? It's like, if you, you know, life is a book, and if you only stay in one place, it's like only staying on one page of the book. You have to go through the different pages to really experience it.
Yeah.
And I find that complete.
Yeah. Yep. It's life is a book. Those who do not travel read only a page.
Nice.
You know what? You would appreciate this. There is a Czech proverb. It's one of my favorites. And it says, you live a new life for every language you speak. If you know only one, you live only once.
Yep.
I like that too, because, you know, as we travel through these countries with different foreign languages, it is an opportunity to live a new life and connect with new people. And, you know, and there's so much that opens up when you can speak a language. So kind of on the same lines there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find you think a different way, and you actually do become a different person. And it was crazy. Actually, yesterday I was interviewing Vladimir Skultety, which is he's a Slovak polyglot. And it was crazy because he speaks Slovak. And so we started out speaking Slovak, and then we switched to English. And it was literally like his English accent was so good. I mean, it was like speaking to a different person, you know, and I'm just like, my mind was blown.
That's
and then
crazy.
He spoke Chinese and like it was really good, and I'm just like, man, this is unbelievable.
That's so fascinating. Yeah, like how you can have an entire conversation in one language and you feel like you know that person, and then having it switch over, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. It was really weird, because it was like, we talked about it on the show too, but like, you know, for me, Slovak is kind of like a trusted language, you know, like family and very close friends and relatives, you know, speak it, because none of our other family or none of my other, you know, environment in the States spoke it. And so, and then to have to change to English is kind of like more for like foreigners or, you know, outside people or something like that. So that was really weird for me also, because you do have these associations with the different languages. So I don't know, maybe for example, when you speak Italian, you're just like, man, I want pizza and pasta all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started. Yeah. So how has all of this led you to start this Travel Wisdom podcast?
Yeah, so this really started like when I came, would come back from my trips, I'd tell my, you know, neighbors about it, and they'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds like a really cool trip, like a trip of a lifetime, and you know, kind of suggesting like I would only do it one time in my life. And I'm like, no, I'm not only doing this one time. This was too good to, you know, and there's no reason that I should only do it one time. And so, you know, I want to continue doing this. And so, yeah. And also people would be, you know, would be talking to me, and this is a few years ago, this would be like 21, and they'd be like, wow, you really speak differently than everybody, all the other 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. You seem to have more wisdom, you know, and so more grounded and more level-headed and stuff like that. So I'm just like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And so yeah, I kind of, you know, put those ideas together, like, you know, traveling to get wisdom and to kind of grow yourself. And people were saying, they're like, oh, you should write a book. But I'm just like, I don't know. A book sounds hard. You know, I'm not much of a writer, and that sounds like it'd be too hard of a project. I don't know how to begin that. Mm-hmm. But I'm a huge, huge, huge consumer of podcasts. I'm subscribed to over 50 right now.
Wow.
I listen to 20 to 40 hours per week. And so I'm just like, well, why not contribute to this, you know, medium that I love so much, mm-hmm. and have loved, you know, ever since I was a kid. I loved radio all the time.
That's great. I have to agree, before I ask you the next question, the once in a lifetime thing. I was actually just talking to someone about this in the last few days. You know, I hate that phrase. I hate mm-hmm. that phrase, because that's really, I think it's unfortunate. It's almost sad. Like, it's closed-minded. You know, if you loved mm-hmm. it, go do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it was great for you. I wouldn't even say that about the whale shark. You know, even though that was really challenging for me, like, I might do that again one day. And so I didn't even want to call that, you know, as I was writing the story, I didn't even want to call it a once in a lifetime thing. Like, this was a great experience and I'm going to go forward with it, you know, but the whole once in a lifetime, I feel like that's overrated. That's overrated. Like, yeah, you can have great experiences, but go and do them again if you love them, you know, don't look at it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I mean, in the end, it's not that hard to do. I mean, mm-hmm. again, I mean, we talked about it. I mean, you were saying on your website, you don't make, you're not a millionaire. You're making with your husband $30,000 a year, and mm-hmm. and I mean, so it's possible for everybody to do it. And
oh, yeah.
and
oh, yeah.
you know, it's not like it's. I guess you know, we're all kind of raised with this mentality, especially in the States, that oh, you have to like have a yacht and you have to be like a millionaire to be able to travel. Whereas in reality, it's not that expensive. It's mm-hmm. like marginal. More expensive than just like staying at home, and in a lot of cases, like even cheaper than staying at home.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, yeah. So, how have you? Let's talk about your podcast a bit. The mission of it, I guess, the focus, Travel Wisdom. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the idea is that traveling speeds up the wisdom that you accumulate, which can lead to success later in life. So what I'm trying to show with travel is that it's not just like a vacation, like a frivolous, you know, expenditure. I had a friend in, you know, when I was working 7 years ago, and he was really into dune bugging, you know, and he loved spending money on his dune buggy. He had put like $8,000 into his dune buggy, mm-hmm. which is cool, but I mean, also it's a dune buggy, you know, and you crash it and you're just like, oh, I broke the clutch, you know, it's going to cost me another $400, you know, so yeah, I mean, that is something I would, I guess, consider like, I guess, a frivolous expenditure, just like a pleasurable thing that's kind of maybe a little bit, I don't know about sinful, if that's the right word, but a little bit guilty pleasure. And, you know, and I was trying to show more that travel's not like that. It's not just a vacation, but it's actually, if you do it the right way, I mean, of course you can do it the wrong way, but it can be a learning experience. It can open your mind and it can help you grow as a person, which can lead to success later in life. I mean, I've literally gotten jobs because of it. My friend also that I traveled with, he literally got accepted to a job and got hired for a job where they accepted less than 1% of the applicants. They interviewed less than 1% of the applicants. And yeah, he ended up getting hired on because they're just like, we were reading through your resume and we can't believe it. Is this for real? Like, you really did this? And so sure, we want to have you on. Like, mm-hmm. And that's in the end, what people want, what employers want, is, you know, somebody who fits the airport rule. Like, you're going to be working, you're going to be spending at least 40 hours a week with this person. Like, are you going to want to blow your brains out, or are you going to have mm-hmm. fun with them? Are they cool? And that's something that you know, traveling really forces you to do is to be cool, because if you're not, then you're just not going to cut it.
Or you become a solo traveler.
yeah. But I mean, you still have to have that coolness. Like, you still have to, I don't know, interact and not freak out at, you know, the bus driver and
yeah.
I don't know what else. Yeah.
Let's hope. I mean, you know, though, you said something that I just want to, I mean, you said that you know, all of these things can lead to success later in life. But I really, like, I want to stop you there and say, wait a sec, this is happening right now. Like, why don't you say this is, you know, travel equals success right now? Why don't you say that? Because you know it's true. I mean, look at you. Look at me. Look at everybody who gets out and goes and takes that first trip, you know, and how it changes them. Why push that to later in life? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that kind of suggests that, oh, it's going to be 20 years down the line. But yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, I didn't feel it like right away. At least in my experience, it was always at least, you know, 2 months or 6 months away. So, I mean, I guess that is later in life.
That's pretty quick.
But yeah, I should, that is pretty quick. Like, you know, being hired on somewhere and just being like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been here. Oh, that's so cool. I was also there. Da, 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 da. And meanwhile, you're having a really cool discussion with your boss, you know, AKA the person who's giving you money and has the power to, you know, give you a raise anytime, mm-hmm. You know, for an hour, and you have something always to talk about with them. That's a really good point. I should change that because it really is quite instantaneous. Yeah. I would say it's maybe like going to the gym, you know, like maybe like right after, like the hour or two, like after it kind of sucks and you're just like, oh, I'm tired. But even the next day you see results.
No, this is true. And as if keeping that analogy, as you keep going, you're going to be healthier overall.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that it keeps adding to, well, I think travel definitely does that. I mean, with education, with health, with everything. I mean, it's like my, it's my nectar of life.
Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. We just kind of developed another analogy for my show. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when I first went abroad, I mean, yours was kind of a long time. Like yours has really evolved over your entire life, you know, like you were kind of born into it and most people aren't. And you know, like when I went abroad for the first time when I was 18, I was a sophomore in college. I was 18. I went to Costa Rica for the year. I lived with a family. I mean, I fell in love with the Latin culture, with everything, the food, the dance, the smell of the air, the humidity, like everything. It was gorgeous down there. I loved the people. I mean, there was so much to take in, so much. And I mean, I was brand new. I was 18, you know, and I came back and I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. You know, I mean, I'm different now. Like I have definitely changed. And that set the course of my life as an adult, you know? I mean, when you're in high school, you're just a baby. Like, I don't know. They don't know any. High school was like, it was just so different, you know? And my life started once I went to college. And really, it started when I studied abroad. And travel has set the course of it, you know? And it started immediately. And it builds upon itself. But I really think that it's kind of immediate. Like, I guess it works both ways, actually. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just, you know, especially once I've started this podcast, I've had more time to reflect, and I've really been like, man, I'm kicking myself. Why didn't I do a study abroad while doing my bachelor's? Why didn't I, you know, actually just like, you know, pull up and move to another country and, you know, finish my degree over there, because that's when I was really happy. And looking back on it, that's when I felt alive, when I was out. Yes. And even now living in Germany, I feel way better than what I did back in the States. And I don't know if it's just the novelty and, you know, the new language and all this kind of stuff. But I really wish I could have started this, you know, theoretically it could have even been 7 years ago that I started this, and who knows where I would be, you know, in that time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just really amazing what can happen. I guess it's kind of like taking the uncommon path also. And, you know, because if you do what everybody does, you're going to get what everybody gets, right? But if you do something else, if you do something a little bit strange, but also, you know, work hard, then you're just going to be infinitely rewarded for that.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's following your own passion.
Exactly.
Which for most of the people listening to this, it's going to be travel.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Where can we go to find your podcast?
It's on iTunes, Travel Wisdom Podcast, or travelwisdompodcast.com. And also you can email me at travelwisdompodcast@gmail.com. I answer every email, and I'll be happy to answer any emails from your guests. If you have any, you know, questions, where to go, the tips, whatever, anything like this, or just want to talk with me a little bit more, I'd be more than willing to do it.
That's so great. Thank you so much. This has been awesome. And I wish you the best of luck with your master's and your activities, your adventures to come. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. We'll have to keep in touch. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you guys found that inspiring. I obviously had fun with that conversation. I think that happens every time we talk about language and travel. So anyway, don't forget about the show notes at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/46. Check that out if you want to find the links to anything that we mentioned here today. And definitely go say hi to Ladin at travelwisdompodcast.com. And thanks you guys so much for listening, for tuning in wherever you are in the world today. I'll see you guys next time.